watch yourself the whole time, John?
Listen, if you want to distract me, put me in front of a mirror. I can stay preoccupied for hours.
Did you already start the video?
Yep.
I have to keep my mirror on my desk, on the floor, because if I don't, I'll sit there and stare at myself. I can't look away.
Your mirror?
Yeah. I have like a little table mirror when I do my face care and tweeze my unibrow.
Oh, wow.
And have to put it on the floor. If I don't, I'll sit there, be trying to type or research or watch something, and my eyes just keep moving over. And I look at
You are too much.
Well, I enjoy it because I'm like, this is the last time I will be this age, so I want to. I think it's because I worked with a lot of dementia people who, you know, I know that doesn't run in our family, but still, hopefully one day I'm going to be an old man and I want to
remember
when I didn't have salt and pepper hair.
My grandma had Alzheimer's. That's always a huge fear that I'll get it.
We'll take care of you, Kim.
Will you?
We'll flip you over every day. You won't get no bed sores on my watch, baby.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
That's part of the reason I haven't dyed my hair besides that blonde streak in the front, because this is the last time my hair will be this color. It's only going to get downhill from here. I'm going to savor this brownish red chestnut, some would say.
I'm very thankful that you'll take care of me, Josh, because if it was left up to Shane, he would just yell in my room every now and then, y'all right in there?
Well,
You'd go to our home.
I wouldn't. Like, Emily, I feel like, she'd smother your ass after 2 weeks.
You're probably right. She probably would.
Well, it's a lot easier when you're not, like, at least from my experience, it was a lot easier for me to take care of all those people with dementia because I wasn't their, you know, I wasn't their child. I didn't have any trauma or anything from the past to hold me from helping you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, even with my mother, she has MS and like memory loss and stuff. And it's more difficult just with the little bit I have to help her with than it ever was with my residents. But that's, you know, my mom. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, put them in a home.
I've always teased
her. They're a lot nicer than
I've always teased her husband, which it wasn't her husband when they first dated, you know, when they first dated when they were in high school. He was a CNA. So I always teased him, you and Emily get married. You're going to have to take care of me one day.
They broke up the next day.
They did not. He loves his mother-in-law. He'll tell you so. If he doesn't, I'll hurt him.
Yeah, they've been married a year now.
Almost.
When
the
22nd. Okay. I was like, I know it was this month because the weather was the same.
I was always like Emily's big brother whenever Emily would meet guys. She'd always bring them home. And I always felt like she was always more nervous for them to meet me than to meet her dad.
I was too.
How many times did she tell you, Nushing, be nice, I'm bringing you in? And
I would always say, I will be nice.
I will be nice.
And then I will sit there and watch them walk into the house. And then they'll sit down and I'll say, the moment you hurt her, I will bury your body to where no one will find you.
And I have lime. I have lime in my trunk.
That's what evidence bags.
That's exactly what he would tell him. I got lime in my trunk. I ain't afraid to get rid of a body.
There's a lot of pig farmers around here, bucko.
Right? Oh, I scared a lot of her boyfriends.
Oh, yeah. He didn't quite know how to take you at first, but he's like, okay. I think she warned him. She was pretty good about warning her potential boyfriends or whatever, that now when you meet Shane, don't take anything that he has to say to heart.
And don't run.
Yeah, that'll just make him mad.
If he senses fear, it'll turn on his predator instinct and he'll chase you.
He'll get his gun.
Not that he has one.
At least, don't know that.
Well,
I used to love.
Did you get rid of that one that your uncle gave you?
Yeah, I don't have it anymore.
Unless you're one of those creepers, then he's got eight.
Then I got eight. I got them all over the house. I got a machete that I got from my grandma.
Stalkers beware.
Don't be texting me. Don't be doing nothing weird because I got all the guns.
And the gay weapons. One's got a knife.
I got a spam call yesterday.
What they want.
So, and I, if it comes up with just a phone number, I usually don't answer them. I can't remember where this one was from. It might have been Texas or I don't remember. Anyway, it was when I picked it up.
Memory care.
It was a foreign woman. Her accent was very, very thick.
Yeah.
And somebody had ordered $1,500 worth of stuff on my Amazon. And she wanted to know if it was real or, you know, if it was fraud. And I'm like, lady, I didn't order anything off of my Amazon. I don't use my own Amazon. I use my daughter. Right. She has Prime. I said, it's not mine. It's fraud. So then she started going on. And I said, look, it's not mine. I didn't order it. Goodbye. And I hung up. And afterward, because at first I was like, really, seriously, somebody's trying to screw me out of money, you know, like I have some for them to screw me out of, right?
Good luck if you good find luck. It.
Yeah, street cornering, street like it used to.
Just like getting blood from a turnip, what my grandpa always said. And so that was my first reaction. And then, you know, when she just, because she wouldn't, she would say, now it's the account that's tied to this phone number. And I have the, it's going to New York somewhere. And I'm like, lady, it's not mine. And I hung up. And then I thought, yeah, that was totally a scam. Mm. Totally a scam.
Now, what's your credit card number? And I'll confirm if this is your account
or not. Well, let me get it real quick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I'm like, come
normally
on.
What happens, Josh, is Kim will get an email or a text message, screenshot it, send it to me. Is this real?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like our grandma all over again.
I would rather be safe than sorry, but most of those things.
It's almost always fake.
Print send me $200 if right? I give them.
I'm always getting ones. You have a shipment that's sitting at the UPS store. That
I just got one of those yesterday.
Yeah, I get those things all of the time.
You know
time.
What they do, don't
Block
you?
Report.
Mm-mm. If you fall for it. It will link you to UPS. Like they'll get your UPS information. If you ever get something mailed to you, it will reroute it to them.
Oh, really?
So they'll steal your shipments.
I just delete them.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
I block and report.
Yeah, I've done that before too. Normally, I just delete it.
Or like some of them will be like, call us now and you'll get 50% off your AT&T bill. Yeah. I'm like, I never have had that.
If ever I've I'm had bored, that too. I'm not one of those people that like scroll through social media. I just don't do that. But what I do do, that's funny.
You
what
do,
I
do do?
What I do do is I like to go through my spam folder and, which is funny, like if you're a listener and you send us an email and I respond and it takes a while, it's because you were spammed and I respond to you when I go through my spam folder. But when I go through my spam folder, it's because I'm reading the actual spam email.
Hilarious.
Because normally it's really funny. It's like, I am the prince of this made-up country and I have three comma 1.2 exclamation points
my
$1 trillion
when it'll be like a woman, hey big boy, I think you're sexy, I saw your blah blah blah, and it's pictures of her big old kanakas.
You get naked photos?
They're like spam, like mail order bride spam stuff.
That's crazy.
We getting different spam, Josh. We getting different spam.
Well, I don't
spam.
Know why I'm getting mail order female brides.
Oh, come on. You's always on Pornhub. I know why you get it. You's always getting on that Pornhub.
They must have got a hold of your accounts.
My account.
Your accounts.
Grindr selling my.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
I'm always like, honey, you're barking up the wrong tree. Bless you.
I've never gotten dirty spam messages like that.
No, I can't say I have ever gotten any like that either.
Josh is just telling us like it's everyday spam. And then you scroll down, you see your big honkers.
I must not be on Pornhub enough to get those kinds of
Evidently
things.
Not.
I don't really use it. Videos are too long. I like X or formerly Twitter. They're just little like clips. 30 seconds, then...
Well, that's why Elon bought it. That's why he calls it X. Mm-hmm. Now yes. We know.
That's what it feels like. Because a lot of gay people use it for dirty stuff.
Yeah, you've talked about how there's like a dirty side
to it. Like if I see a good-looking man on Instagram... I'll check and I'm like, he got a Twitter, you can see more on there. Then I go on there.
I get a lot of mails from women who think I'm just damn sexy.
Sure, Jan.
In what universe are you living in?
You're beautiful.
Kim, that's not very nice.
Have you
he
met
is
me?
A dainty flower. As grandma would say, he mm-hmm. is sharp. You're looking sharp.
You're
there.
You're looking sharp. Have you guys listened to the new Jolene song?
Beyonce?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I really like it.
I do, too.
She's getting a lot of flack from people who are Southern people because it's a lot different than the actual Jolene song from Dolly Parton.
How dare she?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look
I
it up.
I like it.
As long as, you know, Dolly gave her the go-ahead.
What I love, though, is that Dolly is a great singer, wonderful songwriter, but she is a brilliant businesswoman.
Yes, she is. Oh,
yeah. I would argue that she is even a better businesswoman than she is a singer and a songwriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you look up Beyonce's song, clearly Beyonce has changed a lot of the lyrics, right? It's the same tone, same theme. But she's changed all of the lyrics.
She mopped the floor with Jolene.
Yeah, but she made it her own, which is brilliant. I love it. It's her own version. But if you look up the songwriter of that song, it only says Dolly Parton.
Oh,
and I was like, businesswoman Dolly mm-hmm. Parton.
You can have it. But
yeah, I'll sell you that song. But only songwriter is going to be Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. But I love the song. I was listening to it the other night when I was writing my information for my mystery. I was just like, But what I really like is that when Dolly wrote Jolene, it was a different era. So women were more tied to these men who were, you know, the head of the household.
Right.
So although women still had a lot of opinions and power in their own way, Dolly had to voice it in the way that she did in her song. But now, you know, women just have a different stance and a different type of power.
Right.
So Beyonce wrote it in her own voice and in the stance.
In today's time.
Yeah. So I thought it was brilliant. And especially in the era that we're in and in the culture that Beyonce is with her music, the culture that she plays in. So I really enjoyed it. And it's much different than Dolly Parton's Jolene. So like you listen to both songs and they're similar enough that you know what's going mm-hmm. on, but they're different enough that sometimes I'm like, oh,
which I
now
love
because
I can listen
to
them both, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I gotta listen to this. I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend it.
Elvis went to Dolly Parton and he wanted to sign her I Will Always Love You, but mm-hmm. they wanted too much of the credit and she was like, nope.
She was, she's a steady, strong businesswoman mm-hmm. and she told him that she would be the only songwriter on that song.
Yeah, she learned from her daddy.
I believe they were trying to say, well, why don't we do it for both? Like, why don't we have both of our names? She's like,
nope. I wrote it.
Nope.
Good for her.
Which is great for her because mm-hmm. especially at a time, even then, when women were still, especially in the entertainment industry, not seen as large and as great as men,
mm-hmm.
standing up against Elvis, you know? So... good story.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that.
Oh, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I had it on like repeat. I was just listening to it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I checked out that whole album. I liked most of them.
Yeah,
I thought
it was really good.
I like her. Yeah. I like her. I think she's good.
Well, when Kim and I went to the movies the other day, several months ago, I feel like now, but she had...
I don't even remember what it was that we seen the last time.
Well, they had that Beyonce movie or concert or whatever playing next to us. And it was so loud. But she's a brilliant entertainer.
You remember when we were younger, we'd go up to the pool hall with Aunt Barbara listen to Destiny's Child on the jukebox.
I remember that.
Memories. Mm-hmm.
And all those people smoking in the bar.
Mm-hmm. And we're at a pool hall. We're like 11 and 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to the pool hall.
In Alexandria.
You can't smoke in there now.
No, but that was one thing that was really weird. If you go to Europe, like, there are a lot of people who smoke in places. And I remember the first time I walked into a place and people were smoking, I was like, oh my gosh, clutch my pearls.
Someone call the cops.
Yeah. I can't believe all these people.
Don't any of you see this?
Right. Someone call the king.
Those are too much.
Yeah. Have I told you guys I'm going to be on the news?
No. What'd you do?
What'd you do?
You don't tell us anything anymore unless we're recording.
Is this pre-planned or are you up to something?
Oh, no. So it's just the Fort Wayne news.
Oh, okay.
The news channel. Okay. They're coming on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go there before I leave for the eclipse.
Mass murderer found.
What time Monday morning?
Podcaster accused of murder. Of serial killings. No. So they're coming Monday morning, and it's just about me creating the historical tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was a fun, it's going to be a fun little interview that they're going to do.
People and the Fort Wayne.
I know.
Rich. Famous.
For all of you listeners who get the Fort Wayne news, you might have seen me.
You've been on the Fort Wayne news more than once, haven't you?
I think so.
Pretty sure they did another one over.
Well, they did a news article, but I don't know that I've been on the actual like TV.
You have been though in Knoxville.
Well, no. I'm saying on the news mm-hmm. for Fort Wayne. Yeah.
You have in Knoxville.
Yeah, and a lot of other places. But I'm talking about Fort Wayne. Boy, she just memory care, Kim. Memory care.
I'm starting to get afraid for her, too.
I'm old, and I'm getting older by the day.
Oh, we know. We can tell, Kim, too. You're looking it.
She says as she's crocheting.
Hey, I've done this since I was 10, so.
What is that going? Is that a baby blanket?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's very cute.
It's so soft.
Unisex, blue and pink and yellow.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like hot cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. It's Chanel.
Chanel?
It's what the type of...
That ain't material. Chanel. Miss Barn Dollar, that's not Chanel.
I keep forgetting that's her last name.
It's the name of the type of yarn I'm using.
Uh-huh. That's as close to Chanel as you're going to get, I'm sure.
Bet your barn
I think it's
dollar.
Called Chanel.
Chenille.
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 Hey, I was close.
Yeah. Chanel.
I knew it started with a sh.
I don't want to hear your crap when Josh and I mispronounce stuff anymore.
What's Chanel. Funny is that was just my gay instinct. I had no idea. I knew what that was called. But it was the game. He's like, it's Chanel, man.
Chanel.
You want to talk about mispronunciation? I had to send something back to him the other day because he mispronounced something. He was going to tie a bow for a ship instead of a bow.
How many ships
Listen,
have you been on,
English
Kim?
Is difficult.
And it was a long episode.
Tear and tear are spelled the same, yeah. And I hate that.
Yeah, I know. It is crazy when it's two different pronunciations.
I should make her record a script sometime, and every mess up that she makes, I'm just going to throw that in your face.
I don't put them all in your face.
Right here on the air right now.
Every now and then. That one just kind of.
She just
that
acts
one cracked
like
me
she
up.
Would record it straight through.
Sometimes
no
I look them up.
No filter.
Sometimes I look them up just to make sure that it is pronounced right. And that one came by and I'm like.
In fact, Kim, your text messages to me, I have to read. With squinted eyes.
You have to be able to read Kim to be able to read my text messages.
Because her grammar is so horrible. It's like a 2-year-old.
It is. It's horrible.
And she's going to give me crap over mispronouncing something.
It happens.
You kid.
Josh, you better give us your mystery before I throw something at her. Get to the bottom of my coffee. It's going to be thrown at her.
Well, now I'm afraid to mispronounce something.
Well, you'll hear it from her.
I don't edit your stuff.
I know. I'm pretty good at pronouncing stuff.
I don't
Unless
ever.
Unless they're what I call 10-mile-long words, then I get tongue-tied.
Just choose a different mystery.
I'll start researching. I'm like, nope. Right. Next one. What's on the line?
Let's pick another one.
Make sure my sign's up. Well, one of my favorite legends is the story of the devil at the crossroads. According to the legend, if you go to a crossroad at midnight, a place that exists in two places at once, you can sell your soul to the devil in exchange for whatever you want most. But beware, the cost of the deal is always much more than just your soul. The Curse of the Kennedys is a mystery that I have been exploring. The Kennedy family, who were wealthy, influential figures in American history, have been plagued by a series of tragic events. These include plane crashes, assassinations, drug overdoses, a ski accident, and even a failed lobotomy. Did you not know about
no.
that?
No.
Oh.
Well, Kim,
hold on to your horses, honey. I have heard that curses only have power over us when we give them that power. And I cannot decide if the Kennedys are truly cursed or just incredibly unlucky. Let me begin with the person I believe is the possible originator of the curse, Joseph Kennedy Sr. Dun, dun, dun. Joe and his three younger sisters were born into a wealthy family, and they enjoyed all the privileges that came with that. Despite not having a work, Joe was an ambitious teenager who decided to occupy his time with a job as... Here we go on mispronunciations. to occupy his time with a job in a haberdashery. Joe Kennedy was a second-generation American. His grandfather, Patrick Joseph Kennedy, and his wife, Bridget, had fled to the U.S. in 1849 to escape the Irish potato famine. Patrick Kennedy worked hard to provide a comfortable life for his family, but eventually died of cholera, which also his brother and father did before him. Joe was the eldest child and the only son. His parents had high expectations of him from a young age, and despite struggling academically, Joe was tall, athletic, and had striking blue eyes.
Mm.
He compensated for his poor grades with his street smarts. When his grades dropped, his father's connections and a bottle of whiskey given to the teachers helped him enter into Harvard University to pursue a career in banking. And to help him achieve that goal, he started adopting his father's motto, win at all cost. Well, at the age of 25, Joe became the country's youngest bank president. He achieved this feat with the help of his father and his determination. Studying the laws of finance not only made him proficient in managing finances, but also taught him how to bend the rules. Unfortunately, corruption was in his blood, and he had grown up hearing stories of his father's political aides committing voter fraud. One of his earliest memories was hearing an aide bragging, "We voted 128 times today." Joe employed cutthroat tactics and strategies in his business dealings, but eventually faced the consequences. His family's interests were suddenly under attack, and desperately, he turned to his sisters for financial help. He then made a number of risky stock investments that ultimately failed, causing him and his sisters to lose a significant amount of money. And it was at this point, I believe, that Joe would have made a deal with the devil if that's what happened. After suffering from failed investments and losing his fortune, Joe somehow managed to recover from the setback, leaving everyone uncertain of how he accomplished it. Later, he married a woman named Rose, the daughter of Boston Mayor Honey Fitzgerald. And by Catholic tradition, they decided to start a family and build one of the century's most prominent and historical families. Adhering to that belief, man shall not spill his seed upon the floor. It's my favorite thing that Catholics believe in. Joe Sr. and Rose had 9 children. Joe Jr., Jack, also known as JFK, Rosemary, Kathleen, Eunice, Pat, Bobby, Jean Ann, and Ted. Good heavens. A fun fact I learned, every time his wife would give him a child, he would buy her a nice piece of jewelry. And on the 9th child, she went to him after he gave her a new piece of expensive jewelry. She's like, my jewelry box is filled with diamonds. I've given you 9 and I have 9 beautiful pieces of jewelry. I'm done. I don't have any more room.
I would not have done
9 children.
I would not have done 9, no.
Back then, oh, here, bite on this leather. Well, Joe Sr. cherished his children, especially his sons. He was known to be a caring father, and his children were his greatest love. And regrettably, because of the Kennedy curse, he had to witness the untimely deaths of 4 of his children due to unexpected incidents. Since Joe Patrick Jr.'s childhood, Joe Sr. had groomed him to become the President of the United States. After graduating from high school, Joe Jr. enrolled in Harvard, and he also inherited his father's go-getter personality and his prejudices against Jewish people. Apparently, that was a trait that some of the Kennedys had. I had no idea. I'm like, ooh, they covered that one up.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
While World War II disrupted Joe Jr.'s plans to run for the U.S. House for Massachusetts, and he left Harvard before completing his last year and joined the U.S. Navy, declining his father's offer of a comfortable, secure desk job. He was stationed in Britain, where he joined Bomber Squadron 110. And by 1944, he had completed 25 combat missions and was able to return home. However, his adventurous spirit, another trait of the Kennedys, prompted him to volunteer for one more secret mission. Operation Anvil was a military mission that involved using an unmanned aircraft that was fitted with explosives. The plane was sent to an enemy target located in southern France, where it was deliberately crashed. The bombers were not able to take off on their own, but instead, they were flown into the air by a crew of two people. After activating the remote control system and arming the detonators, the crew members would just jump out and parachute down to safety. Kind of like those gliders by Grandma's house. Mm. One plane would pull them up and another one would.
Mm. I'd seen those.
Well, 18 minutes into the flight, Joe and his fellow crew member set the aircraft on autopilot and watched as it made its first remote controlled turn. They removed the safety pin and the explosive went live. And Joe radioed the agreed-upon code phrase, spade flush, informing control that they had completed their final task before they were to bail out. Well, that turned out to be his final words, because unbeknownst to the pair in the cockpit, there was a trail of black exhaust as they were flying, and 2 minutes later, the bomb went off prematurely and instantly killed them both. The Anvil disaster serves as an example of the adventurous streak that did run in the Kennedy family. Joe Jr. could have easily chosen to return home. However, this was only the beginning, as more tragedies were yet to come. Well, after the loss of his eldest son, who was his hope for the presidency, Joe Sr. turned his attention towards JFK, his second eldest son, who we're all familiar with. And only 4 years after the loss of his eldest son, Joe Jr., the Kennedy children were struck by fate again on May 13, 1948, when Kathleen Kick Kennedy was killed during a plane crash. So this is only 4 years after the death of the eldest son. She planned to visit the French Riviera with her new fiancé and then take him to meet her disapproving father. They chartered a 10-seater plane, and during a stopover and lunch with friends, a sudden violent storm blew in. Both the pilot and the navigator informed the couple that their next leg of the journey would take them through the eye of the storm, and it would be best to wait it out. Kick and Fitzwilliam threw caution to the wind and persuaded them to take off. They ended up flying through the eye of the storm about 1 hour into flight, and all radio contact was lost. When the pilot finally cleared the clouds, he stared through the windshield. The stress of the turbulence, coupled with a sudden change of direction, tore loose one of the wings, and then both engines fell out, and the plane crashed down into a ravine at a nosedive, and there were no survivors. Two of the Kennedy children now. Well, in August 1963, the odds of a 4-pound, 10.5-ounce baby surviving were about 50-50. Jackie Kennedy had just given birth prematurely to a very little boy named Patrick Bouvier. The infant suffered from several... The infant suffered from hyaline membrane disease, a lung disorder common in preemies, and he died shortly after birth. So Jackie Kennedy and JFK's son, I didn't know they had lost a child. 3 months later, the Kennedys were on their way to Texas. This trip was significant politically and was designed to smooth out any kinks in the state's Democratic Party, and it would be Jackie's first public appearance since baby Patrick's death. God, makes it even worse. And they were to drive an 11-mile motorcade, and before it began, JFK told organizers that he did not want the bubble top on the car for protection. The car they were using had undergone security modifications worth $200,000, and he believed surely those precautions would be enough. Well, then he was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald, and after hearing the first shot, Roy Kellerman, the special agent in charge, whirled around to see what happens. Before he could process the scene, two additional shots had rung out and JFK slumped down into Jackie's lap, dying shortly after. By that time, Joe Sr. was around 75 years old. He had seen his dream for a presidential son materialize and had, in fact, almost single-handedly ran his son's campaign. But since 1961, Joe Sr. had also suffered from a debilitating stroke, and he had been incapable of speech beyond yah and no. At the news of the death of his pride and joy, JFK, he released a long wailing no, and his hopes had been shattered yet again.
I didn't realize that that was the first time that Jackie had been out after the loss of their son.
I found that. That's what I was like. Oh, I had no idea about that.
I knew they had lost a son, but I didn't know that that was her first outing after losing him.
Surprised she didn't end up, you know, going away
right
for a little. I would have. Whew, bless her heart. Well, only 5 years after the assassination of JFK, another Kennedy was gunned down. While his brother had been in power, Robert Bobby Kennedy, the third Kennedy son, had been the Attorney General of the U.S. 9 months after his brother's death, Bobby was in the running for New York Senator. And with that in his pocket, the 1968 presidential election was his expected next move. He had scored major victories in the California and South Dakota primaries on June 4th. And he had spoken to some supporters at the Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel. Then on his way out, as he went through the hotel kitchen, a dark-haired man dressed in blue slipped among the kitchen staff. Inside a rolled-up Kennedy poster, he had a .22 caliber loaded pistol. He pulled it out, squeezed the trigger, and Bobby stumped to the ground. And 26 hours later, Bobby was pronounced dead. It's four of the Kennedy children. Assassinations and plane crashes weren't the only ill fates of the Kennedys, though. My hands are so soft, it's hard to flip the pages. This is the one I don't think you knew about, Kim. In 1941, after years of daughter Rosemary Kennedy suffering from mood swings, seizures, and violent outbursts, Joe Kennedy secretly arranged for his daughter to undergo a prefrontal lobotomy, which at the time was thought to be a promising treatment for various mental illnesses. And during the procedure, while she was awake, they had a metal rod scrambling her brain as she counted down from 100. They said that they knew the procedure was a success when she could no longer count down. Instead of curing Rosemary, the procedure left her disabled even more. She was unable to speak and incontinent for the remainder of her life. Then, in shame of her, Rosemary was institutionalized in seclusion and kept a secret by all means possible until her death in 2005.
Wow.
Talk about skeletons in the closet. I had no idea.
I had always heard that she became like somewhat of a socialite, and that her opinions is one of the reasons that led to her lobotomy.
Yeah, I think it was just because she was an outspoken woman who wanted a life not designed by her father. I'm just guessing, because I know. I mean, that would happen. Couldn't speak
after the lobotomy.
Out.
You couldn't ask her,
right?
You know, unfortunately,
my God.
I don't know whatever made them think that lobotomies were good.
It left them unable to talk back, but still able to bear children and pick up a mop. That's all they, you know. No, I know not every man want, like, that's just for a lot of history. That's all women were expected.
Right.
Don't talk. Give me babies and make me food. Ugga, ugga.
Yeah, ugga. I like how you said the word incontinent.
Incontinent.
You said incontinent.
No, incontinence where you can't hold your bladder or your stool.
I've never heard of that. Incontinence.
You have it?
No.
Do you suffer from incontinence?
No.
Try depends.
I thought you meant the word incontinent.
No. There's incompetent.
Yeah, but that's what you meant.
Incontinent.
No, evidently because I never had that issue. I never heard that word. Kim's like, you have it. You have it.
Girl, all my underwear says that. Joe Jr. had only one remaining son, Ted Kennedy, who narrowly avoided multiple near-death experiences. He had almost gone the same way as his brothers twice. The first time, he scraped out of a plane crash by the skin of his teeth. Earlier, he had accidentally drove his car off of a bridge in Massachusetts, resulting in the drowning of a 28-year-old passenger, Mary Jo Kopechne. Whipping out these names today. Can't stop me! Ted had managed to escape drowning in the vehicle, but failed to alert the authorities about his passenger's presence until the next morning.
Oh my God.
In his televised statement a week later, the senator said that on the night of the incident, he wondered whether some awful curse actually did hang over all the Kennedys. I think that's on you, buddy. I don't think that's... You should have called the cops immediately. You know, no, I gotta go home and shower and go to bed. She's still in there. What the hell? It's up there with not filling back in the grave.
No kidding.
And as I mentioned earlier, plane crashes would claim the life of another Kennedy in 1999 when JFK's son, John Jr., his wife, Carolyn Kennedy, and sister-in-law, Lauren Bessette, perished in one. JFK Jr., who was piloting the plane at night, somehow became disoriented before crashing into the Atlantic off Massachusetts. And in 1984...
They just stay off planes.
I know! Quit traveling.
Like after
take
a while.
The train.
Okay.
Lord. Or at least don't fly.
Mm-hmm.
In 1984, David Kennedy, one of Robert Kennedy's children, died in a Florida hotel after a drug overdose. As a child, he had watched his father's assassination on live TV and struggled with it for the remainder of his life. Bless his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Kennedy, another son of the late Robert Kennedy, died in 1997 during a freak ski accident in Colorado on New Year's Eve. See what adventure will do? Ain't nobody gonna kill me on a couch. Apparently, he was tossing a football with relatives while skiing down a mountain and lost control, and I believe it ran into a tree and died. Joe Sr. built a family designed to be perpetually in the headlines. And while other families may go through similar tragedies, heart attacks, infant mortality, and business downturns, their suffer wouldn't be exposed to the degree that the Kennedys were. If there was indeed a curse on the Kennedy clan, some could say that Joe Sr., bent on grooming his family for the ultimate prominence at all cost, might have brought it on himself. He passed on a legacy of loose morals, dubious and cutthroat business practices, and anti-Semitism, although the latter two were not inherited by all of his children. Wonder why they had two T's. Sometimes when I write, I'm like, I don't use that word enough. I'm going to put it in. And then I say it and I'm like, I don't sound organic.
Now I know why I don't use that word very often.
Well, just some things with the twang don't, like, that don't sound like you use that. But even the idea of a curse sounds far-fetched. Looking at the bigger picture, it seems as if the script goes beyond the simple logic of circumstance. I almost said circumcised. Whether a curse, divine retribution, or mere happenstance. As Robert told the federal investigator in 1964, somebody up there doesn't like us. Join us on Unmasked for another theory about the Kennedy curse and how some believe it was a real curse put on Joe Sr. and not at a crossroads deal.
I've had the devil went down to Georgia playing and over and over in my head since you said
Rainbow, I ran. I knew about JFK and the other Kennedy brother who had been killed, but had no idea so many of them. Good thing they had so many, I guess.
There's some good documentaries on them out there.
I think that's who killed
Kim and I Maryland. Have been to JFK's.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's who killed Marilyn.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. One of the.
I'm not sure that he done it.
I think she was double dipping in the Kennedy, and Jackie's like, not on my watch.
I don't know that JFK was the one that done it, but I think the Kennedys did have something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think he like made the order. I think it was like to help. It was done to protect his image.
Yes.
Damn. He wasn't an ogre, but I don't get what the hype was.
Yeah.
Like I've known some of my past residents had seen him in person and they, just the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen. And I'm like, when I was researching, looking at pictures of them, like, they all look so tired. Not a nap was ever taken in that family.
They obviously have never seen some of the actors out there today.
Right. Now everybody's got, they didn't have no Botox back then. Now he'd have his lips done.
All right. Well, watch or bless your heart for today.
Oh, I forget. I always write before bed, usually my bless your heart, because that's the last thing I do. It's not as sad as what kind of it's sad, just I don't think I'll cry this one.
That's good.
Well, the last one got us both, I think.
This one was recommended by a few of our listeners, and when I was writing it, the second half hadn't happened yet, but it's been it was recommended the last time a few weeks ago. It's been on my list, and I picked it, and then while I was researching it, I was like, oh, something literally just happened, I think, yesterday involving this case. Chef Jose Andres, born and trained in Spain, moved to the U.S. at the age of 21. He soon settled in Washington, D.C. and began volunteering at a central kitchen in D.C., where he started to think big about philanthropy. Over the course of his career as a chef and restaurateur, he saw the role of cooks and the power of food to change the world. This path inspired Jose to found World Central Kitchen in 2010 after a devastating earthquake in Haiti. And with the support of his wife, Patricia, as well as his business partner, Rob Wilder, and his wife, Robin, since then, he's pursued a mission to fulfill the words of John Steinbeck. Wherever there's a fight so that hungry people may eat, we'll be there. Well, February marked 2 years since Russian forces launched a large-scale invasion of Ukraine. World Central Kitchen arrived in the region soon after the initial attack, and their teams provided meals to impacted communities every day since. Alongside local partners, they have served more than 260 million meals to Ukrainians living through the darkest times imaginable. World Central Kitchen has also been helping in Gaza to help all who need it. And just days ago, seven humanitarians working for World Central Kitchen were killed in a recent bombing. Chef Andres said, in the worst conditions you can imagine after hurricanes, earthquakes, bombs, and gunfire, the best of humanity show up. Not once or twice, but always. The seven people killed on a World Central Kitchen mission in Gaza on Monday were the best of humanity. And to Chef Andres, the humanitarians who just lost their lives helping, and all those who still help World Central Kitchen, I give a big bless your heart and thank you for what you do to help bring some light back to this forever darkening world.
That was really good.
Very nice. That's a lot of meals that they...
Yeah, I know. Like how, I mean, I guess, I think they get a lot of it through like airdrops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Well, you guys have anything else?
That's it.
Well, we would like to express our appreciation to our devoted and exceptional patrons. We hope all listeners continue to enjoy our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting upcoming episodes. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or join us on Patreon to hear our bonus episodes of Unmasked that we do right after Kim and I go potty. Find us on both platforms under @itsmysteryinc. Don't forget to join Shane and Josh's rabbit hole on Facebook. And you can check out our website, itsmysteryinc.com, to look up past episodes, pictures of all of us, or buy one of my little dicks, necklaces, or t-shirt. You do.
Don't forget my BVDs.
Oh, yeah, and Kim's big old pink silky BVDs.
Somebody got to buy those things.
No refunds, not responsible for the tuna smell. Can't get it out. Additionally, if you have any ideas for mysteries or positive news that you would like to share with us for my bless your heart, Kim's ruh-roh raggy, or Shane's, well, shit fire, let us know on any one of our socials.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready to end?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.